to God. Well, I'm going to share just a little bit. Lori, it is great to see you here today. Those who were here for prayer on Sunday, we prayed for Lori and for Tom. And then Lori ended up down at the James Cancer Center in Columbus, and they were searching, and they found nothing. They found absolutely nothing. So hallelujah. They may have found the medication she was taking was messing her up, and hopefully they made the adjustments, I'm assuming. Okay, yeah. So praise God. That's what I'm telling you, folks. If you don't believe in the name of the Lord your God, you'd better start. You better start trusting God with your car. You better start trusting God with your roof on your house. Because one thing for sure, this house, they're still playing with it, trying to figure it out. Only God knows what's truly going on inside it. Hallelujah. Well, I was last night with some other people, and we were talking about the message today. And we started joking about how God changes the message. And I was like, well, I've got a message already started. And I said, we'll see if God changes that. Well, when I came in, looked at my notes, I was like, well, God already changed that message. So the notes I'd already started weren't the message that I really feel that he wants me to do today. And I'll be honest with you, this is a message that I really wish that every person who attends a church, every person who's a believer, whether or not they go here, I wish they were here today to hear it. Okay, they don't have to come here all the time. They just need to hear this message. And I think I was telling Jason this morning, I think this is a message I probably ought to preach about every 2 months, because this is how relevant this is to our lives, and we forget things sometimes. And this message is on offense. We hear messages on offense, and we get excited, and we run right out. And, oh, Lord, you know. And then a week later, when the message has waned a little bit, you know, and the cares of the world, CNN, Fox, Oprah, all those, they've injected all their garbage into your brain housing group. You suddenly forget the message God gave you. We're inundated with new information every day. We wrap ourselves up in, well, what's this group doing? What's ISIS doing today? ISIS has been around for a lot longer than what you would imagine. The United States has known it, and they have allowed it to grow. Don't know. I'm not going to worry myself about it. I will trust in the name of the Lord my God. Because I'm going to tell you, I've been telling you this for weeks, and I'm hoping it's getting through. I'm going to tell you one more time today. God wants you to trust Him, not the U.S. Marines, not the U.S. Army, not the world's greatest Air Force and Navy. He wants you to trust in Him alone. Israel today is going to have to do the same thing. God is allowing the attacks to come into Israel so they will trust Him when it really hits the fan. Well, these Hamas attacks, they're just destroying. They're not hitting what you think they're hitting. Even Hamas's own people are telling the news their God keeps redirecting our missiles. They really aren't that bad of shots. God is up there going, shoo, hey, we'll send this one over to here, out into the desert. We'll turn this one around and send it back. I believe I shared this before, but I'll share it again. I believe the whole reason the United States can't answer the call for Israel right now. Because if we would, we could. Or if we could, we would. There, I'll get it out right. God wants to be Israel's God. He doesn't want them trusting in their chariots and their horses. He wants them trusting in Him and Him alone. Because trust me, as big and bad as we are right now, we are too weak. We are too stressed to do anything about it. We can't take on Russia and China and Islam. And just so you know, those are the three biggest forces right now. We have got to trust God, and we've got to let Israel trust God. So, let's get into the day's message. Open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to go to verse 22. Offense is a funny subject. Funny in the fact that there's not one person sitting in here who hasn't been offended. Not a one of you. And no show of hands, but many of you have been offended at me. And the truth of the matter is, some of you have realized it. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, you know, I've been in the service, and he said, there's things, they start hitting me, and I'm like, why does that hurt? Because I'm preaching the Word of God. When the Word of God hits us, and it's not anything that's sensitive to us, that we're protecting, so to say, it doesn't hurt. But when we're needing correction and God corrects it, it hurts, doesn't it? My pastor in North Carolina, he always said this because people, and I have come to the conclusion he was so right. He said, when you preach on something that is people's pet holy cow, he said, they'll line up at the door waiting for you. And oh my goodness, boy, was he right. He said, there's an old Southern saying that if you throw a shoe into a pack of dogs, the one you hit is the one that barks. I said that to somebody, and he said, that's just it. You think we're dogs. Well, if a fool keeps returning to his folly, so does a dog to its vomit. So quit going back to your vomit. And just in the event anybody in here has the wrong connotation, I'm going to show you how this works. Okay, I'm going to stand up here, and I'm going to randomly throw my shoe over my shoulder. Ted's in trouble because it's probably going straight back. But the person I hit with the shoe randomly and blindly is the person who's going to holler. It's going to be that person. And the same thing with the Word of God. The Word of God does not come. Yeah, there's times I do know that something's going on in somebody's life. And when I have to throw it in, I just need you to understand, it's 9 times out of 10, not that person who comes up and tells me that. It's an entirely different person. And I'm like, whoa, I had no idea that was going on in your life. I was preaching this message to help the sheep that God has put me in charge of. So the word was going out randomly, maybe with a little bit of correction going this way, but yet the person over here is the one that came over and said, I don't agree with that. I just read you the Bible. I didn't twist it. I read it straight to you. And all I did was give you examples 9 times out of 10 out of my own life. And so it just went to prove it. I was like, Lord, the people that are offended are the only ones who are going to harp and holler about it. But those who receive the correction of the Lord realize, okay, that hurt. Why? Let's get this figured out and get it squared away so I'm walking right again. It's real simple. All right. Verse 22. Then Peter took... Now this is the hymn... Notice that's a capital H. He took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. Now, this is something I really want to capitalize on real quick for us. The word rebuke, you can't say, I rebuke you. It's a thing. But the word means to correct. Now, let's read this again. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to correct him. Does anybody else see the folly in this statement? Jesus, the perfect Lamb, the spotless Lamb, the Son of the living God, is being corrected by the man who sank in the water, who cussed people out the night Jesus was being betrayed. He needs correction by this man. Far be it from you, Lord, that this shall not happen to you.
What's he? Jesus said, I'm going to be crucified. And Peter, this ain't going to happen to you. 23. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. It's capitalized here, but you need to understand, the word Satan is not Lucifer's name. He's got all kinds of names. But this word, Satan, and that's how it's pronounced, Satan in our English, means enemy. Cut, dry. It doesn't mean a goat-like figure with horns walking around with big bulging muscles doing this all the time. That's not what it means. And no, don't get offended because I just gave the rock salute or the longhorn salute. We get offended at the most ridiculous things. You are an offense, the word scandalon. You are a trap to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Peter was only thinking about himself. No, I don't want you to leave. You're finally somebody I can look up to. Even though I'm correcting you. But Jesus, again, was not calling Peter the incarnate of Satan. He was saying, Peter, you're being an enemy to me. And you are not, he says, and you're about to get in the way of the plan of God for my life. And I will not fall for it. Jesus came to this earth knowing God had set him up. You're going to go down there, Jesus. You're going to suffer like you've never known, like no man on this planet has ever known. Luke chapter 17 and verse 1. Said, then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It is impossible that you'll never be offended. It's impossible. That's why I say everybody in here has been offended. There's not a one of us who has not been offended at some time in our life. Jesus was basically saying it's a guarantee. I'm going to even have it written down so that you'll remember. So now we have a written guarantee that we're going to be offended. The offenses are possible traps are just a part of our life. Everywhere we go, we can be offended. You don't have to come to church to be offended. Okay? But how we handle the offense determines if we actually got caught in the trap. Offense is always a trap, and how you handle the situation determines whether or not you're going to get held up in it. You can get through a trap, even though you never saw it coming, and step right into it. But how you handled that situation determines whether or not you're really offended at this juncture, and that means trapped. Offense is a trap, and when you're offended, you're trapped. Okay? So how do I know if I'm walking in offense or if I'm walking offended? Here's a couple indicators for you. One, a mistrust of all people of that association, i.e., preachers, Christians, men, women, groupings in general. I've heard people distrust home improvement contractors. I don't like used car dealers. If you ain't figured it out, no used car dealer knows anything about the car. Right? You didn't own it. You didn't drive it. And most of the used cars on a lot today come from an auction house. So they know absolutely nothing about it. Unless they took it in on a trade and knew the person personally. Two. Here's one. A rejection of authority. I.e. church leadership, work-related leadership, civil authority, police. Many times people confuse offense, meaning the trapping to destroy, with correction. See, that's what this brother was telling me the other day. I didn't take offense because I realized it was a correction from God to me directly. Even though it wasn't something that me or anybody else was saying to do that, it was the Word of God going in and making the adjustment. Anytime, and I was thinking about this back there, and God really started opening up the word rebuke. And he said, and he rebuked the wind and the sea, right? He corrected what was wrong, is what Jesus did. He didn't get up and say, I rebuke you. Even the word says that when the angels fought with the devil over the Moses' body, or over Moses' body with the devil, they did not contend with him or bring railing accusations, but rather said, the Lord rebuke, or the Lord will correct you. What did that do? That brought all of what the devil has been fearing right back. You know, many of you have heard that song by Carmen. I think it was Revival in the Land, was it? And God's trying to stir revival in the land, and the devil's trying to figure out how to get it going on. This is a conversation to go against him. He says, I know what I'll do. I'll remind the saints of their past. And the other head little demon says, but Lord, you know that won't work. He says, why? He said, because they'll just remind you of your future. In other words, that God's going to correct you, devil. That's what we're saying. When we bind things and we cast out sickness, we are correcting what is wrong on the earth. This is not witchcraft, which is what we've turned it into by, well, I'll rebuke you. You don't even understand what the word means. It means to correct. Anytime Jesus rebuked anybody, he was correcting what was wrong. He rebuked the sickness or the disease, the demon. He was correcting what was wrong. But we use that word, I rebuke you, Pastor. Really? Why am I not shivering and shuddering right now? By the way, I've had people try that. I'm like, really? Had one a couple weeks ago. Anyhow. Lost my place. Always keep in mind, Jesus, the Word, Jesus is the spoken Word coming down into flesh, okay? That's why the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Anytime that you see the Word, we're talking Jesus, okay? That Jesus, the Word, is an offense to anyone walking contrary to God. That is Isaiah 8:14. It says, and he will become a rock of offense to both Israel, or to both the house of Israel and to Jerusalem. Jesus is an offense to anybody who is out of sorts with him. Oh, wow, what? Why did I trip up there? Lord, I've been all kinds of good. Well, go back and check and see what you got out of line. Find out what was spoken that caused you to cry out. Why? Why was it when it said, open your mouth and give thanks to the Lord? Why was it that I got offended at that? Why is it I got mad? Because God's trying to get you out of your whiny butt mentality, sorry for the French, and get into opening your mouth and thanking him. Praise. I've told you before, folks, the greatest part of any church service is not what I'm doing right now. It's the praise and worship. Actually, the praise alone. Worship, I believe, is something entirely different. It's you living your life. That's worship. But praise is when you open your mouth and you thank God, whether the song is fast or slow, which, by the way, is the differentiation in today's definition of praise and worship. Praise is the fast songs, worship's the slow ones. As long as the song gives thanks to God, I don't care if the guitars are on fire, okay? I don't care if a band of angels join in and start playing their harps. It's all praise to God. There is no differentiation. I would love to see the angels come down with electric guitars, though. I believe there's a few of them up there that are headbangers. Lost my page here. There we go. All right. So if God loves us, he corrects us. Proverbs 3:11 through 12. He corrects those whom he loves. So if God's not correcting you, one of two things is true about your life right now. You are walking in his will. You are walking in his love. Or two, he doesn't give a rip about you. So which one is it? We know he loves us because the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. The word so means how much he loved it. He loved it so much that he was willing to give up his only son. His only son. I've got three and I wouldn't give a one of them up for you. I'm being honest. Do you mind? Because you wouldn't do it for me either. See, that's the hardest part about the military. We send our sons and daughters off. Well, it's going to be somebody else's son or daughter that's going to die. There's a saying, it can't always be somebody else's son. Now, so God does love every one of us. So guess what? He's going to correct us. He's going to take the time to make sure that you get hit with the shoe every now and then. And we know for one thing that correction is not a fun road to hoe. I don't know about you, but some of us grew up, you had to go cut your own switch. Anybody remember that? Some of us grew up getting to go cut our own brother's or sister's switch. Mom, I'd always go get a good one for my brother, man. Oh yeah, there's a nice green limb. Go get that for Mom. I go cut my one. She says, don't you dare come back with a little twig. Because I'll use that and go cut my own for you. It was never fun. Correction, period, is never fun. What is a police officer doing when he pulls you over for speeding or a traffic violation? He is trying to correct bad habits in you. Speeding is a habit. Not giving a turn signal is a bad habit. Not stopping at stop signs. You know those octagular red signs with the word stop spelled right out on it? California stops do not count in the state of Ohio. So correction is never fun. Three, we spend our time focused on finding demons under every rock. We're going to find fault with every person around us because we're offended. We are trapped. Yeah, Miss Gloria, I don't like that lobster thingy you got on. I become suddenly an offended. I'm looking. Well, isn't the crawfish used in some sort of pagan ritual? Yeah, it's called eating. That is what we start doing. We start finding fault in everybody around us. Stupid things. I don't think we should wear camouflage in church. I'm seriously thinking about having a camouflage Sunday. Really? I might go get a ghillie suit. You might not ever see me. I don't know. I think I'd stand out in here. Yeah, I'd have to hide over here with the flowers and stuff. But you see, that's what we do. We start finding things that are wrong, that aren't wrong. God's trying to correct something in us, and we're now looking at other people all the time. When we start picking on everybody else's faults, and we've all got them. When we pick on other people's faults, we're ignoring our own, and our own will destroys, because the Bible says, be sure to know this, your sins will find you out. they will find you out. And a lot quicker if you're sitting here pointing your finger at everybody else. Well, you know, let me tell you a little few things about Miss Angela. You know, she thinks she's so much better than everybody else. My wife, she does have a fault with this. She spends more time worrying about what people think about her and how she will be perceived. So she makes me read long letters and things that I'm like, seriously? Just tell them to shut the pie hole and leave you alone. Maybe that's why people don't send me those. No, I say it's a fault, but it's actually a good thing to a point. When it comes and destroys her, then it becomes a fault. Because then I have to say, honey, who cares what they think? I don't care what they think. And trust me, if you go tell me what you think about my wife, you aren't going to like me. As David Banner told the what was his name on the Hulk? The report, McGee, he says, you won't like me when I'm mad. Jesus didn't have a wife for a reason. Paul didn't have a wife for a reason. Well, Jesus, we know why. The other ones are like, you know what? I'm going to get attached, and this is going to be an area. Somebody comes along touching my wife. Whoo! You're going to be offended. And maybe an ER, having my foot removed. Anyhow, let's get off of that. We examine everyone we come in contact with and why they do good deeds. Why'd you do that? Why'd you do that, Rob? Why'd you give me that? You knew I needed that. Why did you do that? You got an ulterior motive, don't you? You're the demon. You're devil. We can't receive anything good from God anymore because we're offended. We're caught in the trap. And the truth of the matter is, here's what the scary part is, folks. We're caught in the trap. Now I'm offended at Rob because he did something good that God told him to do. I'm now offended at Rob, and I'm taking it out on Rob. But the problem is, Rob isn't the source of my offense. The source of my offense is back here. See, people ask me, said, well, I haven't heard from God for a very long time. I said, well, go back to the last point you heard God and obey Him this time. If you haven't heard the voice of God, go back to the last time He spoke to you and do what He said to do. That's usually where you get back in His will. But somebody, somewhere along the line, offended us. And I'm going to put it this way, folks. A lot of times in the church, it happens because somebody spoke truth. Somebody, you walk up to somebody, well, howdy, brother, sister. They say, whoa, dude, take a tic-tac. You got offended. Listen, I've had people that don't brush their teeth. They smoke and they drink coffee and then come in and say, well, brother, oh, dear Lord, I can only hold my breath for so long, but I've never said anything, okay? My dad used to have a subtle way. Phil remembers it. And any of you that knew my dad when they lived around here, went to church with him, he always carried around certs in his pocket. Cinnamon certs. They don't make them things anymore. Well, they were good, too. They'd light you up a little bit. He'd offer you a certs. Oh, no, no, I don't want one of them. He says, no, seriously, you want one. He just had a way of doing that. And so I remember somebody saying, oh, no, no, no. I said, no, you can't refuse this. I don't think you understand. You need it. So we're always assuming that somebody else does something good for us, that they've got an angle as to why. We become suspicious. Recently, somebody I know was told that they're the only spiritual person that they can trust by this other person. I'm like, Okay, guess what? If anybody ever tells you that, run. They're offended. If you're the only spiritual person they can trust, they're offended. And it ain't you, but they're about to be. They are about to be offended with you because you're going to tell them the truth and they're going to get ticked off at you. Suddenly, you're against me now. The whole world's against me. If you've got that mentality, you're offended. 9 times out of 10, people could give a rip less about you. I've known people that say, they did that because they know who I am. They're taking that on my children because they know who I am. They didn't play my son in football, or they didn't play my daughter in basketball because they know who I am. No, dude, you're offended. Your child's not as good as you think. Sorry. We all like to think little Johnny or Janie is just the greatest ball player or baton twirler or cheerleader or whatever in the world, when the truth of the matter is they aren't. Didn't mean to offend anybody. But we all think our child is the greatest. And if you don't, please, I'm going to go slap you around out back. Seriously. So many people, well, I'm just being a realist. Listen, you know what? I know my children's limitations. And I also know that there's certain things they can go beyond. But in all things that my children do, they are great. And I will brag on them. Because that's what daddies do. Because you see, you need to understand, you serve a God who brags on you. God bragged on Job. Even though Job had this little bit of fear, God was bragging on Job to the devil. He's like, hey, Lucifer, you seen my servant Job? How he fears me. Have you seen him? See, so there's nothing wrong about bragging on your children. And by the way, you can brag to them. That'll do them more good than you ain't going to give them a big fat head. I remember one time I was doing some work for another contractor, and the people had called him up and just told him what a good job I did. And he said, I'm not going to tell you what I later found out. And he said, I'm just not going to tell you. He said, you might get a big head. I'm like, dude, you're too late. I already know I'm 10 times the man you are. I'm a humble person, too. By the way, humility has nothing to do with what I just said. That's the problem with people. They think, oh, you're just so humble. Listen, when the crap hits the fan, I'll be there. I'll be knee-deep with it right beside you. I'm not going to be the one standing there in my hip waders on the side saying, well, you know, hey, you, Kyle, get down in there. I've cleaned the toilets. As a matter of fact, I've pulled these stinky toilets out before. And you want to know disgusting? Pull a toilet. It's just beeswax, but that wax ring is disgusting. Knowing that it's only beeswax, I still feel the need to go get long rubber gloves and a shovel to clean the ring off. Four, we withdraw from fellowship. At work, we become loners. If we're offended at somebody at work, we start, oh, they're all against me. They're all talking about me. And they probably have no clue why you got your panties in a wad. At church, we may come to church but don't want anything to do with others. I'm not talking you're shy. I know there's people that are shy, and we got to let people come in to love us. But I have seen, and I'm telling you, this is not out of a book. This is out of the book of life that I have seen. People who get offended start separating themselves slowly. And 9 times out of 10, they are not offended because of something I did or did not do. They're offended at the truth, even though I end up taking the blame. You know, the whole don't shoot the messenger deal. That's what they're offended at. So they just either start working their way up. So if I see you working your way to the back row, even though if you come in on the back, you're fine. But if you're somebody who sat on the front and next thing I know you're just working your way to the back, I know you got offended. And you're hoping I'm going to come up and say, I'm sorry for telling you that, what you're doing is a sin. I've had to tell people, no, you can't be sleeping around. You are married! They got offended. I'm like, seriously, how dumb can you be and still breathe oxygen? You got offended because I told you you can't sleep around? First off, if you're not married, shut your legs. There's a reason God said it was for a marriage. That one really goes over well in churches today. Unless they get on our own bandwagon, we won't have anything to do with people. Unless we start starting with the pastor, begin to share our mistrust and reasoning behind our actions. I know of a couple pastors right now. I know one in particular was just trying to get people to move more intimately with God, to start to understand the God that we serve intimately and the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't say that I condone everything that they were getting into, but it wasn't witchcraft. It wasn't mere conjecture. The power of the Holy Spirit is very real. But the truth of the matter is the other people didn't want to break out of their religion. They like controlling God. You keep God in a box, you control God. We're also happy. We got God in our little box. See, that's what Israel was happy as long as God was in that box. As long as he was in the Ark of the Covenant. Bless God, they got somewhere along the line, the Ark of the Covenant disappeared, God came out of the box. They didn't like what they saw because he said, you stiff-necked people, you brood of vipers, you spawn of Satan. And he did call them that. You are of your father, the devil. That was his own people. But once we get people on our bandwagon, bless God, I think we ought to cause an uprising. We need to change in leadership here. We need to get everybody against pastor and take him out. I got news for you. You try that here, I ain't going anywhere. You are. Well, pastor, where's your covering? Listen, you got a problem, take the pastor Dosak. Time I'm over here teaching you to get out of sin and teaching you to be freed, quit hating people, quit start loving people, start praying and trusting God. You start telling him that. See how long he tells you to grow up. He said things I still won't say. So just so you know, and by the way, he's a Marine too, so. Well, pastor, I think you should have somebody over top of you. I think there should be a board. Nope. We do have a board. The board does not control me. The board makes sure that I'm not spending money irresponsibly and doing things that I shouldn't be doing. They don't tell me what color to paint the walls. That's my wife's job. They don't pick out the color of the carpet. I really don't care what you think. Pastor, I think we need pews. Well, good for you. I don't. I sat on pews for years. They're the most uncomfortable, ungodly thing I could ever find. Even when you put a cushion on them. And if it ain't one of the ones already built onto the pad, your butt's sliding around all over the service. Some of you shaking your head, you know exactly what I'm talking. Well, let's get steel chairs. At least they're uniform color. Yeah, I'd rather sit on the floor, thank you. I think these are pretty comfortable. And if you're a Buckeye fan, rejoice, because these are from OSU. And if you're not, so sorry. I don't really care. I got a good deal on the chairs. So that's what happens when people get offended. They start gathering people around to think like them. you know, pastor told me that I really shouldn't be saying this or doing this. I think he's wrong. You don't share all the details. Did you ever notice that? People that are trying to get you to jump on their bandwagon never, ever share every detail with you. Whether it was at school, I don't know how many times Tom was there with me most of the time. We saw fights. It's like, it was always cool. I don't know why we always wanted to go fight. I remember one time right after school, we went up to Sparta, to the big store in Sparta to watch a fight that never took place. And when the guys fought, it was a slapping contest or wrestling. They'd get on the ground and wrestle. The girls, I might actually watch some IFC fights with the girls. You girls are mean. Man, you'd scratch, pull hair, and why? Because somebody started a rumor, was most of it. Somebody got their friends against you, and most of these times these were people who were friends. Somebody didn't share all the details and got you against them. You became offended. Same thing happens in the church. Not everyone who isn't attending is in an offense. There are some people, they know what God has said about what they're doing in private, and they would just as soon keep it there. Because if God's telling them, it's just a matter of time before God tells me. And I'm not going to call you up here and say, you know, you need to repent of this sin of whatever. Now, if it's something I have to come to you about, you need to trust and know that God is saying, this may be your last chance. Some get taken out by their own devices, their own sins. The Bible says we are all tempted by our own desires. Well, Pastor, this isn't a temptation for me. That's great. I'm glad I'm glad pornography is not a temptation for you. I'm glad drinking is not a temptation for you. Stealing, though, on the other hand, there, Mr. Klepto, is a temptation. And neither can we sit up here and say, well, you know, that person's a terrible person. They were in pornography. You know what I've discovered about pornography and even the actresses and actors in them? A large percentage of them came straight out of the church. A large percentage grew up in a Christian home. Somewhere along the line, they got offended. People who got hooked on it, same reason. Somewhere along the line, they got offended. Drugs, same thing. People get hooked on drugs to escape a reality and step into a nightmare. When we're offended, we're in the devil's trap. He can come at us whichever way he wants, and we will never see it. And until we ask God to first forgive us and then release the person, Jesus said, if you forgive a man of his sins are forgiven. If you retain them, they are retained. But guess what? You're the one retaining them. God's not holding them. The other person's not holding them. That other person, one, may not have a clue that they offended you. But worse yet, you're holding it, so now therefore you can't be forgiven of your own sins. I heard somebody try to teach the other day that was Old Testament. You know what? I don't really care. Jesus taught it. I will take the teaching that Jesus the Messiah, the revealed Word of God, said over any conjecture today. And he said, if you do not forgive a man his sins, neither will my Father forgive you. God did not change. Nothing changed. Jesus fulfilled the law, fulfilled the ultimate sacrifice of it. That's all that changed. We cannot sit here and say, well, I can't forgive that person. I heard a person, one person say, I can never forgive my husband. I will never forgive. Even though they're divorced, I will never forgive my husband. He has since died. She's just barely holding on to any kind of reality or existence on the planet. All because she chooses not to forgive. And by the way, in church, I mean, religious is all get out. Daughter marries a meth dealer, gets hooked on drugs herself. You know why? Offense. And a lot of people that are still standing in offense, they've gotten so used to it. Did you ever notice that? If you stand in your shower long enough with water too hot, you will get used to it. You know, yesterday I just did a baptism. The air temperature 61. And the water, well, you were in the water. It was a little cold, wasn't it? Her and Siri are standing up there about me. I said, no, come on in. Come on in. Y'all need to come in a little closer. Experience what we're experiencing. We're going numb from the waist down. Eventually, that ice-cold water became comfortable. Just a second ago, we were uncomfortable. I didn't want to get out because I knew what was going to happen when I got out of it. I was going to have to deal with the wetness. That's why people don't want to get out of their offense. They're going to have to deal with it. But in my mind, I knew the best thing to do was to get out and get out of that wet clothes, which unfortunately I didn't do until I got home. And I cut up a log before I left, so I filled my boots, which you should have seen me. I gave Redneck a whole new identity. I have my blue, well, those same shorts I wear to the picnic, Hawaiian-looking shorts, thermal top, camouflage Marine Corps hat, and my leather work boots, slip-ons. I'm sure some of your family thought, dear Lord, what has she gotten herself? What kind of backwoods hillbilly shows up in a loud pickup truck? This one. But you see, people, who knows? Somebody may get offended over that. People will find the most ridiculous things to get offended, and nobody else knows. But you see, in all that, getting back to where I was going, I knew I had to get out in order to get warm again, to get life and blood flowing back through me. If you're in offense, I'm going to tell you, you've got to get out of it. Life will not flow through you. Eventually, I would have started shaking. I would have started into hyperthermia. The water was that cold yesterday. You got to get out and deal with it. Offense is the same thing. If you don't get out and deal with it, you will freeze to death. You will die as a result of it. And if you die from something, what's the Bible say about the wages of sin? They are death. You will die in your own sin and have nobody to blame but you. That's why I would wish that everybody who's playing hokey in any church anywhere was here today. That once the kids left, that people were waiting to come in here to hear so they could get free. Because offense will keep you right here. It'll keep you in that which is killing you. Offense will keep you in drugs. It'll keep you in illicit relationships. Today, the greatest thing that the doctors will try to get you to believe is to blame it on your mom and dad. You know what? Moms and dads aren't perfect. Yeah, there's reasons why we do things. But ultimately, the decision is mine. If I have a screwed up life, I can't keep blaming it on my mom and dad. I made the decisions. Mom and dad didn't make the decisions for me. I chose to do what I did. My wife can't make the decisions. I choose. But if I'm in offense, I'm going to make every wrong decision, I promise you. Because see, here's the will of God for us. we're walking in the will of God. Boom, here's an offense. It's right in the middle and stopping us from the will of God. So instead of blowing through the thing like we should, like Jesus said, you are an offense. You are a trap. You are something sent by that statement to cause me to err out of the will of God. And so what do? We veer off from the will of God. From that point on, I don't care if it seems like a good decision. The only good decision is to forgive. Every decision after that point is a bad decision because they are not leading you into the will of God. We just looked and said, oh, well, evidently God wants me to go over here. I get nervous when people start telling me that they've been in probably a new church every 2 years. Does anybody know what that tells me? You're offended. You are somebody who is currently offended. And people who are offended will only stay until they get offended again. Because like I said, I've given everybody in here probably the opportunity to get mad at me for saying something that God told me to say. Because we've got to get rid of this mindless attitude that I'm in charge. I'm the ruler of my destiny. Yeah, you are. You have a right to choose God's will, or you can choose your own. And the way that seems right always leads to death. Isn't that funny how everything that goes away from God always leads to death? There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Here's the path of God. Boom. Wages of sin are death. And I'll finish up with this. I'm going to get into this whole message, this other message I'm going to share a tidbit out of. Iniquities and transgressions. Iniquities, I heard a preacher share this, and I told Angela, I said, this was the greatest message on this that I have ever heard. And this man said, iniquities are what you're born with. It's what your mama and your papa gave you. It's the things that are inherited. So if you were born into offense, spiritually and physically, you're going to follow the same route. You will do that until you break it. Okay? You're in charge of breaking it. Transgressions, that's our mind. That's the things we think. You know where all evil starts, right? Right here. This, and it's not even that wide because and I'm sure there's a lot of bone because I've been hit with a lot of things. So I might have about this much of gray matter in between there. So that 6 inches between our ears is where every evil in the world has spawned from. Every one of them. Abortion. Murder. Adultery, fornication. Started right here. See, the will of God is right here, but we're like, let me try that. And we go off. And when we do that, we bring what our desire is, because that's where sin, it's the stuff that's born into us. Boom, it comes back. Our mind and our desires agree. We commit the sin. Sin leads to God wants us free from all offenses. It's not possible that you're going to live life without the opportunity. You can get offended at every cop that pulls you over. Eventually, in your stinking little brain, because evidently it's stinking thinking, that maybe I should slow down. Or maybe I should quit running red lights. I got one ticket for blatantly blowing a red light in Columbus at 3:00 in the morning. Me and Bobby, he was working with me and riding with me. We were the only two stupid human beings on the planet in Columbus that day, except the two cops sitting in the parking lot that I didn't see when I blew through that traffic light. My stinking thinking got me in trouble. I thought, you know what? It's not worth. I was making $10 an hour. Ticket was $85. I just worked the day for free. Because Because by the time they took taxes out of a 10-hour day, I didn't make anything. Until we bring this into alignment with God, which, like I said, is getting into the part of the other message. Until we renew our mind and understand, I can't hold these people. Jesus, did you notice on the cross, he said, Lord, forgive, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He could have been offended, but the second he bit on the offense and held on to it, he now became a spotted offering. And everything he just went through was for naught. But even on the cross, he chose not to hold him in unforgiveness. How about we put to death the things that are so easily besetting us because of an offense? I will say 9 times out of 10, so that's 90%, the things we do and why we do them is because we're offended at somebody. It might be an actual family member. It might be somebody that still has no clue that you're mad at them. You could be like the Hatfields and the McCoys. There are still a couple of them that are knuckleheads. Even though they, do you understand, a couple years ago, they had to sit down and sign a peace treaty. Again. A stinking peace treaty. Who cares what your great-great-granddaddies did? Get over it. A prize pig is not worth people's lives. And every other thing that took place. But it has destroyed countless lives, all because of an offense. All right, let's stand. If we will recognize, folks, offense when it instantly hits, you may have to go to somebody who has wronged you. Okay, I need you to understand something. If I have wronged you, come to me. But don't come to me and saying, I don't agree with that preaching about offense. I don't agree that you can't, that you have to be merciful and that you have to forgive. Don't ever, because I will correct you on the spot. At this juncture in my life, I don't care who you are. If you're older than me, whether you're younger than me, when you start going against the word of God, you tell me right then and there, you just became an enemy of God and that you're here to sidetrack. Okay, I'm not just a hireling. Yes, I am hired, but Jesus said the hireling will run when the wolves come. The good shepherd won't. Because, folks, I need to tell you, anybody who's ever come to me, that's their pet peeve. I said something that kicked them in the shin so hard they were howling at the moon for 2 weeks. You should repent, Pastor. You should tell me you're sorry because you made me mad for my sin. No. How's that? So long, farewell, see you. Don't let the screen door hit you where the good Lord split you. Because they will always be offended. It's a cycle. As a dog returns to his vomit, so does a fool to his folly. They'll just keep it going on until someday, somewhere, and I praise God for my pastor in North Carolina, because it was that message that finally got through. Because I was highly offended. And I'm not talking the word of God. I'm talking the manipulations of religion. Okay? There were offenses I later took because I was already offended. You need to understand that. I was already offended, so anything somebody said I didn't like, I became offended again. But what they said wasn't wrong. What they did wasn't wrong. It was back here because now my perception is through those rose-colored glasses that are saying, oh, Rob's got to be up to something. Nobody's that nice. Nobody's that kind. I've known Robin, he'd give his shirt off his back. But there would be people that would be offended at that because they're offended and they can no longer see good. Everything is evil. Ain't no good preachers anymore. They're all out for money. Listen, there's good preachers on TV. Are there some charlatans? You better believe it. And when a chicken squawks and lays that big egg and you keep going back to that chicken, it's your own dang fault. Okay? You keep sending them money. Don't stand there and say, God, well, they took my savings. God's like, I didn't tell you to give it to begin with. He said, I told you, judge the fruit. And when you get hold of an apple tree that has nasty apples, what do you do with it? Right down to the root, get rid of it. There's this guy around the corner on Douglas Street had a huge transparent apple tree. Every time I'd go by there when we had the church down there, that thing was laden with, I mean, it was awesome. I walked up to him one day, I said, would you mind if I got a bag of those? He said, man, you can have every last one of them. He said, they're terrible. You don't know what you're talking about, old man. I got me a couple bags of them, got them. All those are awful. You know what he did? He cut the tree down. I thought, well, there we have it. He got rid of the tree because it was no good. But if you find the fruit and it's good, you prune and you hone that tree to perfection. I've got a tree that's good. It just needs some attention from my chainsaw. You can't get anything to the top where the apples are at. It's too big. Know that. God loves you. And if this message, if you're sitting here and your knees down are bleeding, please repent. Don't come to tell me and you got offended at me. Because as soon as you start barking, I go pick up the other shoe. I'm just kidding. I just couldn't resist. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, that your love is boundless towards us, Father, that you move in our lives, Father, and you do things to show us just how much you love us and you give us multiple chances. Lord, I pray now that in starting with me and going down to the youngest Christian in here, Lord, if we have any offenses in our lives, things that we just didn't realize that we were offended at, Father, help us to realize those and to forgive. And Father, and where we need to address the thing with the person, Father, we go to them. And if they will repent, we have gained a brother. And if they don't, we don't pick the offense back up and carry it. We leave it with them. So Father, I thank you for your great and endless love again. I thank you for your power, Father, and how you're showing yourself faithful to be the God who heals, the God who delivers, and the God who provides. Lord, I bless these people today. I ask, Father, that as they go about their weeks, Father, that your hand moves mightily in their lives, Father. You order their steps. Your word says that we're to rejoice because the steps of the righteous are ordered by you. So, Father, I thank you and praise you that you're leading us, guiding us, and protecting us. In Jesus' name, amen.